Welcome everyone to the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone. Thank you so much for downloading and listening to the show today. We got a slightly different week than usual for the podcast. Today, we're going to go over the injuries from week 12. We're going to do the top waiver wire pickups for week 13. So nothing changes there, but we won't have a Tuesday show this week. I'll be back on Wednesday. We'll be previewing week 13. And during that episode, I'm going to try to hit on as many of the key injury situations as I can. And that's because I'm actually going to be off on Friday. So there won't be the Twitter Spaces live show. There won't be the injury updates episode this week. Neither of those are going to happen. But the rest of my content, it's all going to be the same. Waiver wire article Monday night, first edition of the rankings on Tuesday, trade value charts on Wednesday, rankings update will come out on Thursday, start, sit, stash, quit on Friday, then the rankings updates Sunday morning, and then the Twitter takeover, the Score main account on Sunday morning as well. All that stuff's going to be business as usual, just no Tuesday show and no Friday shows, unfortunately. But now that we got all caught up on that, let's get into the injuries from the weekend. And the lists aren't that long at quarterback or at receiver or at tight end, but there are a bunch of running backs that we got to get through. So we'll get into those first. Travis Etienne, he left with a foot injury, and that's always worrisome, especially for a player who missed his entire rookie season due to a foot injury, had to undergo Lisfranc surgery last year. But the early reports here are pretty positive. His head coach, Doug Peterson, said that the injury is more of a sprain and not a Lisfranc like last year. And Etienne said he'll be good to go next week. We can't always trust players, but when you get all of the reports kind of being pretty positive around this one, it makes you start to feel good about it. And Peterson actually said that Etienne could have been cleared to come back in the game. They just didn't want to push it. They didn't want to keep him out. They wanted to be cautious. So that's pretty believable too, since Jamichael Hasty was doing pretty well in relief, right? There wasn't really any need to bring Etienne back into the game. Not so much as a runner for Jamichael Hasty, only had 28 yards on 12 carries, but 5 catches, 67 yards, and a score as a receiver. So very nice fantasy day there for him, even though nobody was really using him in fantasy, unfortunately. And even if Etienne doesn't play in week 13, Hasty probably going to have to split snaps with Darrell Henderson, who the Jags claimed on waivers last week, right? And the matchup is really, really good. They get the Lions in week 13. So it's not impossible that you could have multiple backs pay off in that game. But regardless, the early news here makes it seem like Etienne won't miss much time, if any at all. So we'll keep an eye on it. Hasty, Henderson, I think they should be picked up, but seems like Etienne might have avoided another serious foot issue here, and it's really, really lucky for him and for fantasy managers who were hoping to use him during their fantasy playoff push here. A very tough situation for Michael Carter on the Jets this week. I was very high on him. You know that if you listened to the show last week, and he was set up for such a big game. Mike White under center in a good matchup against the Bears, and then we found out that James Robinson was a healthy scratch on Sunday morning, so it was wheels up for Carter, and the Jets offense completely went wild in the game, but Carter suffered an ankle sprain that forced him to leave early. And we haven't really heard about how severe it is. The team's calling him day to day right now. Robert Salas said that they're going to have more information on Wednesday, so maybe he needs to continue to undergo some tests. So we'll still wait on a real update from them. And if he does have to miss time, this is likely going to be a committee. You're going to have the rookie Zonovan Knight potentially leading the way, actually, which is kind of crazy to say because he came out of nowhere this week. He was active, had 14 carries for 69 yards, had another 3 catches for 34 yards in that game. And that's in addition to Ty Johnson turning his 6 touches into 78 yards from scrimmage and a score. But if Carter's out, Robinson's likely going to get activated, you would imagine, unless he's dealing with an injury that's going to keep him out for a while here, and it doesn't seem to be the case. So you figure that he'll be activated, and then that makes this such a difficult situation to try to project for their next game here against the Vikings. So we'll wait on a real diagnosis for Carter. We'll wait on what the timeline's going to be for his recovery. Day-to-day gives him at least a chance to play this week, though I think he'll miss at least one game with this injury, but I'd definitely be taking shots on all the Jets' backs on the waiver wire, especially Knight, who looked pretty good. I mean, the offense was humming, so really any running backs that were in there were probably going to produce in this game, but you have to like what you see from the rookie after that one, and we'll mention him again in the waiver wire ads when we get to that a little bit later. We also got to talk about the 49ers backfield because they had multiple injuries this week. Elijah Mitchell, he suffered a knee issue, and I saw multiple people suggest that it could be an MCL sprain. Kyle Shanahan after the game even said it's possible that it's an MCL, but he also said that he didn't believe it's as serious as the MCL issue that Mitchell suffered back in week one, the one that kept him out for 7 or 8 games in the first half of the season. He came back in week 10 after that. And if it's not as severe, Maybe we're only looking at a few weeks that could be lost here, but we're going to know more after he gets evaluated on Monday. Haven't seen an update on that one yet. The other problem is that Mitchell was helping spell Christian McCaffrey. McCaffrey's dealing with some sort of knee issue himself. He missed some time during this game with what they called a knee irritation. I didn't see much or hear much concern after the game from anybody, so might just be something that he's going to play through. Likely is going to mean that he's not going to practice as much during the week, and it'll also probably mean that he's going to have to split touches with another back if Mitchell's out. So if Mitchell can't go in week 13, could be Jordan Mason stepping up. He got work in this one, 5 carries for 25 yards. Or it could be Tevin Coleman, who's on the practice squad right now, because sometimes we see with backup running backs, the four string guys get playing time over the third stringers. They get activated, not the third stringers for games, just because they contribute more on special teams, where a veteran like Coleman, he might just be there as a pure backup running back. And he seemed to be the number two guy before the CMC trade happened. So I'd look at him as a potential pickup, but as long as CMC's healthy, he's still going to be a solid RB1 unless the injury takes him out at some point. Right now, we're not concerned about that at all. You're mainly just stashing the other guys until Mitchell's healthy enough to go, but when it's a 49ers backfield, when we see this many guys get injured in San Francisco, I don't know why it seems like this happens every single year, but running backs get hurt a lot in that offense, it seems. So you got to end up grabbing the other guys, stashing them away, and we'll see who gets the playing time, but I'd look at Coleman, and I would look at Jordan Mason as well as guys that you could stash just in case. Damian Harris, he left the Patriots Thanksgiving game with a thigh issue. He was on crutches after that game. Also wasn't practicing today, so New England plays Thursday night against the Bills. He's probably going to miss some time, I would imagine, here. And that means that Ramondre Stevenson, a solid play. Not that he wasn't before, but we know any time that Harris is out, Stevenson gets bumped right up into the RB1 conversation for fantasy. So even in a little bit tougher of a matchup against the Bills, I like Stevenson as a top 10, top 12 RB in my rankings this week. And he's pretty much game script proof, right? The pass catching skills, they give him a lot of different outs to pay off for fantasy. So you can fire him up with confidence the rest of the way. Some other ones to note at running back, Josh Jacobs came into this week's game with that calf issue, played through it, had a monster performance. So he should be fine moving forward. Deonta Foreman on the Panthers, he was in and out of that game with what they were calling a back issue. He finished with 113 rushing yards, so ended up being okay in that game. Shouldn't be at risk of missing time either, especially now because he's going to get the bye week to rest up. But back injuries, they can be very tough to predict. They can pop up at different times, so just be mindful of that moving forward. And then Rex Burkhead, he's in concussion protocol, so we might finally see Eno Benjamin take on a bigger role behind Damian Pierce in that Texans backfield. If not, Dario Ogunbowale has been involved a little bit. I mean, I'd have to think that they want to see what they have in Benjamin. So if Rex Burkhead misses the game, I would expect that Benjamin would be the number two behind Damian Pierce for that one. Just one quarterback injury to touch on. I mean, it's a big one in real life, not so much a big one in fantasy, but Aaron Rodgers, he's been playing with that fractured thumb. Now we're adding a rib injury to that list, and he had to leave the Packers Sunday night loss to the Eagles because of it. So he's going to undergo an MRI. He's going to undergo a CT scan. We'll see if there's anything concerning there. I guess x-rays weren't enough to rule out the fractures, so we don't know for sure yet. We'll see what the Monday tests show. According to Ian Rappaport, as long as there's no fractures, there's no breaks, Rodgers plans to play at least until the Packers are mathematically eliminated. But you also have to think that Green Bay would be kind of intrigued to give Jordan Love some more playing time, especially after, I mean, it was a very small sample size, but he looked pretty poised when he came in the fourth quarter there. He played pretty well in that game. Once again, very small sample size, of course, but looked a little more composed, a little more comfortable out there than what we saw in some of his past performances. He even found Christian Watson for a 64-yard TD, and if he gets the start against the Bears this week, he would be an intriguing streamer. I mean, if Mike White can light up the Bears, you'd have to think Jordan Love could probably do it as well. So something to consider if you're pretty needy at quarterback this week, and if the waiver wire is pretty thin, Jordan Love is somebody you could look to there. Over to the injured receivers, not too much to go over here. A couple teams got hit pretty hard this week. The Bears, Darnell Mooney, he suffered an ankle sprain. He's going to need season-ending surgery, so he's out for the rest of the year. You can get him off your roster. Chase Claypool, he had a leg injury. It caused him to end up in the medical tent. We'll see what the update is on that today. Even Equanimeous St. Brown missed some time in this game. And then on top of that, you have Justin Fields, who sat out this week. He's no guarantee to play in week 13 because the Bears have a week 14 bye. So maybe they want to give him extra time to rest up. So it might be worth just steering clear everyone in the Bears offense, aside from David Montgomery as a potential RB2, RB3 option. And then Fields, of course, once he returns, whenever that actually happens. We also have a few Patriots wideouts that got dinged up last week, going back to Thursday. Jacoby Myers, he has a shoulder issue. Nelson Aguilar, he was banged up in that game. Both guys were at practice so far this week, though, so it gives them a chance to suit up against the Bills. We're going to have to continue to monitor that one. And that's really it for injuries. I mean, Allen Robinson got ruled out before the game, and then reports surfaced that he's likely going to be out for the season, but hopefully you weren't rostering him anyway. I mean, there's not really much worth using, at least fantasy-wise, in that Rams offense, especially if Matthew Stafford ends up missing the rest of the year, which is apparently also a possibility now, but we've talked about that a few times on the show over the last couple weeks. Let's move on to the waiver wire pickups for week 13, though, and I'll have the full waiver wire column up on the Score Monday night as usual, so you'll be able to see all the names that I have in there, but here we're going to focus on the top pickups for this week, and we will start at quarterback. I will mention his name again because he's being activated this week, Deshaun Watson. And I will also say that I am not picking up Deshaun Watson anywhere. I don't want to root for the guy, but we don't have to spend any more time on that. I mean, I've explained my thoughts on it and, you know, how I think Watson returning for the final month or so here is going to make fantasy less enjoyable, but that's the situation. Either way, he's 58% rostered at the moment, so he's over the 50% cutoff, but I'm just bringing him up since I know some fantasy managers might be desperate at quarterback. He's still out there in 42% of leagues, so if you're open to adding him, he would be the top pickup for quarterbacks this week. And once again, he's really the only long-term starter on the waiver wire this week, right? A guy who could be a regular in your lineup. Other than that, we're just looking at streamer type. So Jared Goff seems to always be in the mix for streamers, and he's right up at the 50% cutoff, but he gets the Jags this week. They're a top 10 matchup for fantasy quarterbacks, and with his playmakers finally getting healthy here, Goff had a decent game against the Bills last week. At least for fantasy, he had a decent game. He'll be in play as a bye week replacement or a streamer option. Mike White, yes, Mike White, we are going to consider him as a fantasy play now. He's 4% rostered, and the Jets are on the road against the Vikings, but what a bad turn of events for Zach Wilson. I mean, I know we want to focus on Mike White and him being the pickup, but to just see Mike White go out there and play as well as he did, and White didn't do anything spectacular. He just came in, he ran the offense in a game manager style role, and that's all they need. They have the talent at the skill positions. They have a good system. So all you need is a guy who can stay on time, who can hit the marks, and White did a good job of that. Now, the matchup gets a little tougher with the Vikings this time around, but Minnesota is one of the 10 easiest matchups for fantasy quarterbacks, and they just allowed 382 yards and two touchdowns to Mac Jones. So Mike White, definitely a streamer or a really, really good play in two quarterback and super flex leagues. We haven't seen Kenny Pickett play in week 12 yet. He goes Monday night against the Colts, but entering the Monday nighter, Pickett has been really coming on over his last couple outings. He was the QB12 for fantasy in week 10. He was the QB15 in week 11. He's got a bit of rushing upside. He's got a lot of talent around him. George Pickens is breaking out. So we'll see what happens on Monday night. But Pickett looks like a nice option for week 13 against the Falcons. And then, like I said earlier, Jordan Love, he would be a really enticing streamer against the Bears. That's if Aaron Rodgers can't suit up because of the rib issue, and we would still need that. That piece has to come down. That puzzle piece has to be there in order to consider Jordan Love for this one. But you figure at some point, Jordan Love is going to get out there based on all the reports that we're hearing about Rodgers and his health and if the Packers get eliminated. So we're probably going to see Jordan Love get some starts before the year's finished, maybe even this week against the Bears. Kind of gets dicey after those guys. I mean, I'll have all the other risky dart throw quarterback streamers. I'll have them all listed in the waiver wire column. We don't have to go over them here. We'll move on to running back. Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins, Tyler Algier, they're all at or over the 50% rostered mark, so they should be picked up almost everywhere. Gus Edwards came back last week, had a good game. J.K. Dobbins is going to be back at practice this week. It doesn't sound like they think he's going to play this week, and they really took their time with him last time that he came back, so I imagine they're going to do that again. And Dobbins himself has kind of just talked about wanting to be healthy for the playoffs, so I don't know that he's going to play this week. I don't know that he's going to play next week, but he's a guy that you could stash away and maybe he gives you something during the fantasy playoffs. In the meantime, Gus Edwards is a really nice play for fantasy, low-end RB2, high-end RB3 with some good touchdown upside. So I would check to see if those guys are still available in your league just in case. After that, It's kind of a mess on the waiver wire for running backs this week, and we could chase some of these injury situations we went over earlier. You could hope to get lucky there. Jamichael Hasty, he's only rostered in 3% of leagues. Daryl Henderson, 47% rostered. People still hanging on to him from the Rams days, but there's a good chance that Travis Etienne escaped without a serious injury, and he's going to be available for week 13, so I wouldn't bid too much on these guys is what I'm trying to say. They're mostly just stash plays because the matchup against the Lions, it's good. But if Etienne goes, then Hasty, Henderson, they would just be complete dart throws in this game. And if he can't play, Hasty, Henderson would be RB3 flex options with a pretty decent amount of upside, really, just because of the matchup. And then the other injury situation was the Jets backfield. And I'll be picking up Zonovan Knight as many places as I can here. A lot of dynasty leagues where he might still be available because Michael Carter's injury, it looks a little more serious. I know they're calling him day-to-day, but it looks like he's probably going to miss a game or two with this one. I might be a little overzealous on that, but that's just my feeling on it, my educated guess. And Knight, he produced when he was called upon in that game, 101 yards from scrimmage, 3 receptions, so a little bit involved everywhere. And if Carter's out, yes, James Robinson probably going to be active, and then we might go into a three-man committee again. So Knight for me is interesting. Not a slam dunk pickup by any means. And I'd also be scooping up Ty Johnson in deeper leagues because he delivered on fewer touches than Knight this week. So he's kind of interesting as a deeper flex play. So that's what I mean by messy. You could also look at Cam Akers, who he's over the 50% cutoff. He's 55% rostered. Kyren Williams, also on the Rams, 36% rostered. These guys are just desperation plays, but the Rams schedule for fantasy backs, it is pretty good the rest of the way, so you could look at them as potential risky flex options if you're in a bad spot. They don't have high ceilings for fantasy, so you got to temper your expectations if you're putting them in your lineup. Mike Boone, he could be activated off IR for the Broncos. He could step into the number two role. Joshua Kelly, he looks like he's back to being the immediate backup for Austin Eckler again. Tevin Coleman, who we talked about, I mean, he could be a sneaky ad in the 49ers backfield. You know, Benjamin, potentially a guy who could step in for Rex Burkhead as the number two in Houston. No one that's that exciting, but they're all stash considerations this week. Let's move on to receivers. We got a big group that are just over that 50% mark, but you got to look in your league and see if these guys are available. So Treylon Burks, Michael Gallup, Darius Slayton, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Paris Campbell. I mean, assuming that Campbell doesn't get hurt in the Monday nighter after we record this, all those guys need to be rostered. After them, I hate to say this again, but there's just a lot of similar options. So Nico Collins, he's been out targeting Brandon Cooks the last few games. And really, since he came back from the groin injury, Collins has 26 targets over his last three games, has at least 5 catches and at least 40 yards every time out during that stretch. He's a wide receiver four flex option, and he's available in over 3/4 of fantasy leagues still. Zay Jones, he's heating up for the Jags, coming off his best game of the year, 11 catches, 145 yards against the Ravens. I didn't even think Zay Jones had that kind of ceiling, but nice to see him go out there and do that. He's actually got at least 10 targets in 3 of his last 5 outings, including each of his last 2. So he's really emerging at the right time. Definitely worth an add. He's only 25% rostered. Elijah Moore might have a glimmer of hope finally. We know the talent's there. We just need them to use him more. And Mike White being under center, that helps unlock the Jets passing game. Just be careful. Don't get too excited here because Moore still only ran a route on less than half of White's dropbacks. And his stat line was a little bit fluky. 2 catches, 62 yards, and a touchdown. So the fantasy total is there, but it is hard to expect him to deliver when he's only getting 2 targets. So you could stash him, but we really need to see more usage before you can trust him as a flex in your lineup. And then the amount of streamer wideouts that you could turn to, it's just huge. They all have some risk, but Isaiah McKenzie, he had a big game last week. DeAndre Carter on the Chargers, he's an option as long as Mike Williams remains out. Mac Hollins, he's always a threat in good matchups for the Raiders. Julio Jones is getting healthy at the right time. Devontae Parker could step up if we see those injuries to Jacoby Myers, to Nelson Aguilar. If that impacts their availability, Devontae Parker could have a good game. I know as a Bills fan, Parker's had some good games against the Bills in the past, so that wouldn't surprise me at all. Just really a ton of possibilities. So I'll break them down in the categories in the waiver wire column, what type of play they are. But that's why I always say, don't waste your bench spots on these average wide receivers, because you could find waiver wire guys that could really give you that kind of value. Bench spots should be just for high upside players, which is normally backup running backs who are an injury or two away. That's what you really want. Or possibly the odd player at the other positions who has a path to that high upside, that high end production. But we'll keep pushing ahead to tight ends here. Greg Dulcich, Juwan Johnson weren't good this week, but really solid streamers still. I mean, Dulcich, he actually had a touchdown called back due to a penalty. Otherwise, he would have had a much bigger fantasy day. And Johnson, you can't get too down about 1 week. I mean, he had at least 40 yards and a touchdown in all three of his games before this. So really, he put up a donut this week. You're upset about it, but you could look to him as a streamer again. I think both these guys are pretty good options when you're looking at waiver wire pickups, even though they are at or over the 50% rostered mark. So they're not going to get written up in the column, but I always feel the need to mention them because they might be out there in some leagues or after they've had a bad game. Maybe somebody's dropped them, so you could go pick them up there. I'd also look at Evan Engram, who gets the Lions this week, and he's also been quiet lately, but he's still a full-time player in an offense with Trevor Lawrence. He might be taking the leap forward now. We've seen some good play from him recently, and let me mention again, they are playing the Lions. The Lions hemorrhage fantasy points to almost every position. Top five matchup for Engram there. Good chance that he could find the end zone this week. Foster Moreau on the Raiders, still not putting up big yardage, but touchdowns in two of his last three, and to go along with, you know, 30, 40 or something yards every week, he's a streamer option because of it. That's really all you need to be a streamer, which is kind of sad for the tight end position. Tyler Conklin, he could be worth considering again too in the Mike White era. He had 3 for 50 this week with White starting. Hopefully that's a sign that he can get back to the kind of production that he had earlier in the season when he was sort of a fringe low-end tight end one for fantasy. But aside from those guys, you're really just playing it dangerously at tight end if you have to go to the waiver wire. So hopefully you don't have to dip any further into the other tight ends. I will list more in the column. They'll be in there if you need them, but fingers crossed that you don't have to use any of those other guys. We'll finish it off here with some fantasy defenses for week 13. The Seahawks get the banged up Rams. Seattle's posted the 7th most fantasy points among all defenses this year. Meanwhile, LA, they're giving up the 2nd most fantasy points to opposing defenses. So that's a nice recipe for success. Plus, the Seahawks, they get the Panthers a week later, so you could probably use them both weeks. That makes them an even better pickup. There's also the Browns, Deshaun Watson coming back. They're taking on the Texans. That's a good matchup for them there. The Packers are going to get the Bears, and if Justin Fields is out, that is a prime matchup for Green Bay. If Fields plays, then no, don't go the Packers in that one. The Steelers, they've regrown their teeth here now with TJ Watt back in the lineup the last few weeks. They'll get the Falcons in week 13. Definitely could look to them. So a few different defenses you could go after, but the Seahawks definitely topping the list this week. And that is all for today's show. Make sure you check out the full waiver wire column over on The Score. I'm going to be back Wednesday with that week 13 preview episode. And once again, that is going to be our only other podcast episode this week. But until then, big thanks for all the ratings and reviews on your podcast platforms. Big thanks to everybody out there for listening, and we will see you next time.
Said leave on time, my baby said leave on time. Leave on time with me tonight, I said leave on time.